Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The Masters is back, and this week DraftKings has given you 100-1 odds on the golfer if you're choosing to finish in the top 10. If you haven't tried DraftKings, go download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer if you're choosing finishes in the top 10. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Russell and Bear back with you. Top four for this afternoon brought to you by G&J Auto Graphics. Here is Trey Patterson.
All right, number one. We talked about it a little bit already, but Keon Johnson has officially declared for the NBA draft and will hire an agent.
Yeah, no big surprise there.
No.
Goes through the process, and they're like, yeah, you're going to be a lottery pick.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means you're going to be rich.
Yeah. Go get paid, young man.
Coach Barnes, it's been nice, but I got a thing to do.
Exactly.
Best of luck to you. And best of luck to him, man.
Absolutely. He gave us a lot of joy this year. He'll always belong to us the same way Tobias does.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask. What is our feeling on that? Because prior to this our only experience with the one and done was Tobias. And now
Tobias identifies as he's
all ball. He's always talking about the balls on Twitter.
He loves
Keon
us.
Will be too.
We love him. That's mutual, but it's
the connection's
different.
The connection's not as strong as like it is to like Grant or Admiral or Lofton.
Exactly.
We'll always have that dunk against Georgia though.
Is that the bet?
That could quite possibly. It's 1 and 1A with Ron Slay against Georgia. I give it to Slay simply because Slay Daddy went over to the Georgia bench and almost started a riot.
For me, that dunk is my second favorite Keon memory. The number one will be him going off and kind of putting the team on his shoulders and at Rupp. And I don't care how bad Kentucky was this year, winning at Rupp is special, and we don't do it without him. I mean, that was kind of his – probably his best game. I think he had better games in terms of scoring output. I think he had 17 or 18 in that game. No, he went for over 20 in that game, didn't he?
I think him and Springer both combined for like 50 points that game.
Yeah.
Something outrageous. They were both in the 20s.
To me, that's my top Keon Johnson moment.
All right, number two. Also talked about this a little bit, but Tennessee basketball has picked up a commitment from French combo guard wing player Quentin Dabunje. I probably butchered that.
I think Dabunje is pretty good. We'll go with Dabunje. You start doing that. I mean, Eve Pons went through an entire four-year career without anybody knowing how to pronounce his name correctly. Most people.
I would say most people probably.
Including
still have
people
trouble
on the show. We're kept calling him Eves. But
Eves Pons.
Eves Pons. See. It's not his name, but hopefully we come to a better understanding with Quentin Dabunje.
All right, number three. The Basevols improved to 25-5 last night after their 10-1 victory over Eastern Kentucky.
Man, so good.
Another dub. I do want to point out, they changed that font that I was complaining about, Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on their Twitter.
Oh, you think this was another Tennessee media relations listening to The Drive?
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, if you want two guys, it would make it a lot easier if you just give me and Russell and all our interns. It doesn't have to be a big office, just a small office space. We come by in the mornings, check in for a couple hours, go over things with you, tell you where you're making your mistakes, and we can get this thing back on track.
Don't hold your breath. By the way, remind me to talk some Tennessee baseball. I asked Rusty Enzer earlier today. I texted him. It's a great smoking hot question. This weekend series against Florida is the biggest SEC series in Lindsey Nelson since blank. Because I had no idea.
And what was Rusty's answer?
Well, I'll tell you after the top four at four.
Okay.
But it's an interesting question. I'll put it this way. It's been a little minute. Been a while.
I'm really interested to see what Rusty's answer was.
All right, moving on to number four. Arizona has parted ways with Sean Miller after 12 years. He was charged with head coach responsibility for a failure of compliance.
Why did they wait so long on this?
Because they don't want to get sued. I don't know. I mean, he's winning there. There was a lot of – they did the thing we did when the NCAA comes after a popular coach of ours. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. He's a good guy. It's whatever. Everybody else is doing it.
Kind of the LSU model.
Yeah. And he did drop off a little bit since the scandal broke in 2017. On a year that they went 27-8. Remember, they had, who was the big man they had at that point?
I
don't think it's Iadato.
Oh, man.
You remember, the big yeah. dude. And since then, they've gone 17-15, 21-11 last year, and then 17-9 this year. So there's a lot of people out there speculating that, well, they didn't fire him because of the investigation. They fired him because he wasn't winning enough. And maybe there's some truth to that, too. But I would say that the reason he hasn't been winning as much is because he's been kneecapped by the investigation. He had to fire Book Richardson. They were caught on tape talking about paying players. And all of a sudden, there is a cloud of NCAA uncertainty surrounding their program. Much the same way LSU. I mean, I know
that. I mean, LSU. Do you just not feel like they're eventually that entire athletic department's going to get hammered? I mean, between the Title IX stuff that's come out with Les Miles, and don't forget Ed Orgeron. Did you ever read that article I sent you from the? Yeah, you did.
DeAndre Ayton. Ayton.
About Ayton. The 70-year-old grandma who Darius Geis allegedly. Propositioned.
That story, I saw it on ESPN today.
Well, it's gaining traction. That was under Orgeron. Orgeron claims he didn't talk to her, but
it's gross.
I mean, I'm sorry. Who are you going to believe? 74-year-old grandma or Ed Orgeron?
Well, would it shock anybody if we found out that Ed Orgeron has been running a renegade program at LSU?
Whenever he got hired down there, you had one of your 5-minute speeches about how this would end up.
This can only end badly.
Yeah. And I agreed with you then. I agree with you now. And that whole deal with this grant, that was ugly. I mean, just really, really ugly, nasty stuff. So it sounds like Geis is a kind of freak show.
Not a good guy.
No.
No. All right. Thank you, Trey. That is the top four at four. It is brought to you by our friends at GNJ Auto Graphics, Knoxville's premier place for car wraps. We gave one away last week, and there's some more news about GNJ and some future things that they're doing coming up maybe as early as tomorrow on the show. In the meantime, I can tell you that they are the place to go for anything cosmetic related to your vehicle. Knoxville's premier car wrap shop. Their vinyl wrap services range from personal vehicles to commercial vehicles, fleet wraps, and other vinyl displays. Their biggest wrap services for consumers would be color change wraps and chrome delete. I believe that's basically what the guy who won, Jeff, last week said he was going to do with his van. They can add black vinyl or texture on all chrome items and make it look really, really snazzy over there at GNJ Auto Graphics. Check them out online, GNJ Auto. Please go follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Show them that fan run appreciation and love. Brand new business here in East Tennessee. Just got started last month and are trying to make a go of it here. And so we are proud to be working with them and helping them get started here in Knoxville. Our phone number, if you want to jump on, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Yes, Bear.
A quick update on LSU football coach Ed Orgeron. It appears Louisiana state lawmakers are looking into subpoena into subpoena for Orgeron. They had kind of left it open-ended. He wrote a letter. Apparently, whatever he wrote in that letter wasn't good enough for them. And they want answers about the grandmother who was basically sexually propositioned and
harassed.
Sexually harassed by Darius Geis. And, you know,
can you imagine?
I mean, Orgeron's a here's what blows my mind. That caveman is the highest paid state employee in the state of Louisiana. Makes more money than anybody else in the state. Kind of feel like you can't. If the state legislature subpoenas you, you need to show up. You need to be honest. I know it's going to be hard for you, Ogre.
Yeah. Can you imagine Ed Orgeron in some sort of congressional setting being questioned by other red-ass members of the Louisiana state legislature?
I imagine it could quite possibly. There's a pretty good chance he could end up on the floor being tased when he comes.
Now, Coach Orgeron, where were you in the date in question?
Like,
but it's also in a gumbo.
Yeah, that could be a bad scene. So
well,
Drew
it's like
Pimper,
go ahead.
There's some breaking news there. Drew Pimper has found a new home. He's going to, is that UNC Asheville?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Oh, cool.
Be a good spot for Drew. Good luck, son.
So no ETSU.
Yeah, I'd heard he was going to ETSU.
Yeah, I kind of feel, I probably wonder if Jay Shea getting fired had something to do with that.
The thought was that Des Oliver, when their previous, was going to bring him up there with him.
Good luck to him. He's a great kid. I hate that it didn't work out here for him, but and wish him all the best in the world. Comes from a great family.
So, I asked Rusty Enzer.
Yeah.
This series versus Florida this weekend at Lindsey Nelson, the biggest series at Lindsey Nelson since blank.
How far back did
Rusty
go?
Rusty said, I would say 2005, week 8 versus South Carolina. Vols swept the Cox to take over first place in the East at 15-8. UT entered the series 12-8, and South Carolina was 12-9. Of course.
How the hell does Rusty? I mean, those baseball guys can remember just.
Well, he did add. That info came from Jeff Muir, who is a local college baseball buff.
Okay.
As well. So, Rusty.
The one series I still remember, my favorite series I ever played, was back when I was still in high school, but we went to it. Auburn rolled in here with Bo Jackson and Frank Thomas.
Mercy. They were on the same team?
Yeah. And they pounded.
Well, that was. Where did they play back in those days? That was not at Lindsey Nelson. Lindsey Nelson wasn't built until the early 90s. I don't even know where they played before then.
I thought it was on the same site.
Might have been.
That's lost in the ether and the, you know. I've done a lot of things since in wrestling.
It's unfortunate. I get it why they can't open up the stadium this week, but I hope that day is coming soon, man, because I do feel that.
How many tickets are they selling for this week?
It's like 1,500 or something. They're basically all allotted to players, families, and coaches, and visitors, and stuff like that. And then
what about
they will set. They'll take the ones that haven't been used and put them on sale like an hour before the game.
Well, have you seen the prices on the secondary market?
No,
I checked yesterday because I wanted to go to the game last night. None were available, so I checked for this weekend. $160.
Wow,
I'm not paying $160.
If there were no attendance restrictions, I think you'd have a full 5,000 people over there.
I don't think they'd still be going for 160 secondary. If it was Vanderbilt, I'd probably pay. The weather was guaranteed to be nice. I'd drop a Franklin on a ticket to get in.
Tony Vitello he's done it, man. He has revived Tennessee baseball, and I know that he will tell you that he's done nothing yet, and they've won nothing yet, and that's all true. But they are certainly headed in that direction, and they've got some buzz around the program. And I don't know, does it have anything to do with the fact that there is no buzz around football, that basketball was disappointing this year?
I think a little bit, but more than that, I think it's that he like hits all the bells for Tennessee fans, the stuff that we love. Just
it's what Josh Pate was talking about. Heupel has to do, and he was making the Georgia Tech comparison with Jeff Collins, that he's got to make that connection with the fan base that they'll roll with him. And Tony's in year four, so he's already gone through the hard times, but I think a lot of people rolled with him through that. A lot of people are just jumping on the bandwagon right now. That's
fine.
He's
very charismatic. He says the right stuff. He's a kind of a tough guy. He's not afraid. And that stuff he does during games, like yelling at the other team's coaches.
Coaching.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get any better than that in East Tennessee.
It's just a shame. I mean, is there any chance? I don't feel like there's any chance in the next 24 hours they're going to throw open the gates. Yeah, go ahead and fill it up.
No.
What has to happen? I mean, is that the governor's decision? That's the way it works in Texas, right?
I think it's Knox County's not included in the gov because we've got a – I wonder if it comes down to the administration and Dr. Buchanan on the Board of Health. She's the only one in charge now.
I thought they stripped her of her powers.
No, they stripped the board, but she's still in charge. She's the ultimate.
So if Governor Lee came out and basically did what – the guy down in Texas did and say, everything's open up. There would be pressure on it. I feel like they're – I don't know. I don't want to get into this and the whole should they or shouldn't they. I think we all agree that we hope, and it feels like that day is coming soon, maybe by Vanderbilt next week.
I think
week?
There's probably a happy medium between however many people they put in that stadium yesterday at Texas. It's a little bit risky. We're not quite out of the woods yet.
Well, that's – I mean – there's, okay, we can't have a full 5,000. We've been having 1,500, 2,000. Can we get up to 3,000? I don't know, but it would be a lot of fun, man. That would be a raucous environment. Oh, that Maneri guy at LSU thought that we were rude, we were mean to him, whatever he said, without class. Can you imagine?
Fan running the 37 pit? Haven't shown up yet.
Can you imagine the snake pit that Florida would be walking into with 6,000? And now they could sell beer over there. So you have 6,000 drunks heckling Florida in a very small – I mean, that might – I don't want to say it'd be dangerous, but that would be – a hostile environment.
It would be the loudest that stadium's ever been.
And it got pretty rowdy back in 95, as I recall.
I just think with the addition of the alcohol, that would
– true.
Probably push it over.
True that. Do we have time for Phil? We've got tea biscuits coming up here in just a minute.
Yeah, no, we probably need to go to. Let's see if we can.
All right,
we get Phil in right after tea biscuits.
All right, Phil will hold. He's a veteran.
Oh, Phil hold. He'll probably call back.
Might be mad.
No, not really.
Okay. Well, stay and Phil, you're going to want to stay tuned for the Catholic football coaching search update. We do have the hot board here at Fan Run. We'll run through that for you as well. We're going to try and run down our old friend Trey Wallace, Rocky Top Insider, bring him in, talk a little Tennessee football, whatever else is on Trey's mind, and that's a scary place to be sometimes, but we'll jump in with both feet coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. We go to the G3 Help Me Hotline. Our old friend Trey Wallace, a.k.a. Ice Trey, a.k.a. War Eagle Wallace, a.k.a. Tuscaloosa Trey, a.k.a. T-Biscuit.
I don't get T-Biscuit.
I'm workshopping it. Just roll with it for a minute. Let's see what happens. Trey, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
She goes down in the EPB. Everybody smiling.
Knew it. Bear said he's going to start singing.
I know him.
What's up, boys?
How much, man? How you been?
It's good. I'm pretty good, man. How are y'all doing?
We're making it. We got a new Trey in here. Trey Patterson. We replaced you. We found a guy. He said, "My name is Guy," and I said, "No, your name is Trey." And so we have new Trey in here. He's a Braves fan. He's got his own little idiosyncrasies, kind of like you, kind of like Bear, kind of like me, I suppose, kind of like all of us. I don't know. New Trey, not the same as the old Trey, but it is what it is. You know, we keep on keeping on. We had another guy, Alex Olives, left us yesterday too. So I don't know
where did Alex go.
He got a job producing.
A paying job with Benny's.
You know, it's like Mark and Kim in the Morning on
it's a huge show,
Star 102. Yeah, it's a big morning. It's a big morning show. So he's over there in corporate radio world right now.
He'll
Good
be
luck
back.
To him.
So you left.
Right.
Alex left. And I'm just wondering, I'm like, when is Bear going to come to me and be like, Russ, you got to talk, man. I've had an offer come in. ESPN's calling.
Take it over for Jimmy Holmes.
You would, wouldn't you?
No.
You'd leave me to go to a state run.
No, absolutely not.
You and Wilkerson.
I'm ride or die with you, brother.
Shout out to Wilkerson, by the way. I was doing some yard work Sunday, just like and just kind of listening to his broadcast. He does a great job, man.
Wilkerson?
Great play-by-play guy.
Oh, hey, yeah. He's got incredible pipes.
Yeah, he's really good, actually.
Trey, it's good to have you back on. So I know that you got to go to practice this week, man, a couple of times. Is that What is that like for you? I mean, are you just in seventh heaven when you're over there on that lush practice field watching the Vols get after it?
You know what? And y'all know the stories and stuff like that we go through when we have to go over there. Like, we weren't able to film the offensive line under the Jeremy Pruitt era. And there were just, like, some strict restrictions. But really, boys, they just kind of, you sign a piece of paperwork, and they just open the gates for 23 minutes. And it's like, okay, this is like a Field of Dreams segment. But it's actually, it's a lot better. It's pretty cool. We can film the offensive line. And I don't want to say it's better than the previous thing, but yeah, it's better than the previous regime. So, I mean, it's been fun, and we're only in there. We get three periods, Russell, which you know all about going over there. That's kind of a lot. So, but yeah, it's been good. Here's the best part about it, I guess, is it's good to finally put eyes on players in practice settings, because we haven't done that in it's been a year. I mean, we got that one day of spring practice before everything got shut down last year. So, I thought, it's been good being able to watch quarterbacks, being able to watch offensive linemen and just see who's out there. But, there's not a lot of guys, man. Like, yesterday, I didn't even take time to go over the defense. Like, I didn't need to, because I knew the linebacker spot. They were rolling with, like, five guys. So that part has been interesting. But yeah, man, it's good to get back, I guess, out there for the 20 minutes that we're allowed to.
So it's a looser vibe over there. It's not, you can't do this, you can't do that, be sure not to talk about this or say this or film this or take a picture of that, all that stuff. It's kind of, hey, you know what the rules are, man. Just don't be showing formations or whatever. And other than that, you're in here. Go ahead and knock yourself out.
Yeah, don't videotape Rodney Garner absolutely dog cussing his offensive lineman out, and you're good. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about Tennessee right now, boys, is they need all the good press they can get. Like, and that doesn't matter if it's practice reports. It doesn't matter if it's, just some photos or videos. Like tonight, they're giving us four student athletes to talk to tonight. Like, I don't remember the last time, that's happened in 3 years, 4 years since I've been on the beat. So, that part makes it interesting. It's all Zoom still. When it comes to player interviews and whatnot, I think that'll change in the fall. But yeah, a lot more open access, and they're letting you try to decipher what's going on over there. And with these, it's funny, Russ and Bear, like, all the coaches have like headsets on as well. They're not trying to like yell at each other and whatnot. Like, all the offensive coaches have headsets on, so they're just talking to each other as they go through drills. I think that's one of the
that was interesting
things.
I haven't seen anybody do that on the just the regular old practice field before. So interesting. Trey Wallace hanging out with us here on the drive. So Garner is he the biggest dog cusser on the new staff?
Garner, Ellerby's probably number two, I would say.
You want your O-line coach a little salty.
Yeah, he's real salty. I mean, the Dane Davis kid, he like tripped over his own feet the other day and he got dog cussed out.
Awesome.
You know, yeah, I would say Ellerbe is behind Garner. And you know, we don't get to hear much from Brian Jean Mary because he's way over there on the other side of the field with the linebackers. But yeah, so I'd go with Garner than Ellerbe. Yeah.
Who was it on the last? Was it Pruitt on the last? Did it just filter down from the top?
I would probably say Jeremy, and then I would go to God. He had so many coaches on his staff. Maybe Ansley in the secondary is probably number two. I would say, yeah, Ansley. So it's just a different vibe too. And you know what else is interesting? I know you guys saw that YouTube video that they put out. Like, they're filming a reality show.
Yeah.
At the same time they're practicing. So it's interesting to see and weird. You know, you've got all these cameras and these boom mics that are all around, and you know, they're filming these guys, and so that part they were, and I was told they were gonna do that. And here's where it got crazy. They were going to film this reality show even if Jeremy Pruitt was here. Like, they didn't care. They were
really
just gonna do it. Yes. Yes. This was not like a
thing. The Vol Films guy, if Pruitt were here and some dude with a camera came up to him on the practice field and he didn't know he was going to be there, Pruitt would have lost his damn mind. He would have taken that camera and smashed it over the poor kid's head.
That's probably true. He'd have to been back at least 20 feet. But that's how I was told, that they were going to do it anyway. So they're adding elements to get people engaged. I mean, I don't know about you guys, and I'd like your opinion too. Like, is this the most less engaged it's been when it comes to spring practice from a fan standpoint in the last 4 or 5 years? Or do you feel like...
I hear some people saying that, Trey. I just feel like it's been this way for a while now. And maybe there's a little bit more apathy in this year, but I do think that if Heupel and Danny White, and I think Danny White is probably driving a lot of this. I think Heupel just strikes me as a guy who wants to go coach his team, and he's not as paranoid and crazy as Pruitt and some of the others have been. Doesn't appear to be anyway. We'll see if that lasts over time. But yeah. I think that if they do a couple of things, I've heard maybe an open practice Saturday,
weather related.
Yeah. This docu-series that they're doing, like, I feel if they do some of that stuff, that will balance out some of the fans that might have turned their back recently and said, you know what, y'all just, you show me. I'll be here when you guys decide you want to start taking this seriously again. I think that it's enough, but, I mean, it hasn't been like it was 20 years ago in a long time. I mean, that's been...
No. But I think that, you know what, I will say this about the practices part. I know we'll talk about other things here in a minute, but like the practice part of it, it's more lively. It really is. And I'm going back, you know, to watching them approve it. I know we didn't get to watch last fall or didn't have it last spring, but it is more lively. There's music going. You know, the players are kind of flying around. They're happy. They're running. You know, I've talked to a couple people inside the program about, you know, what goes on after we leave. And you've got players that are flying around. The energy is actually there. I think they're trying to make it as fun as possible for these guys because they know everything they've been through in the last 3 years.
Well, and they were just beat down by and we talk about the dog cussing the players and everything, and it's a ha-ha funny sports radio topic, but I feel like that really took a toll on it. And that was a big reason, you know, this, that Brumbaugh got let go is he wasn't playing that. He's like, no,
right.
Like, I'm not. Pruitt wanted him to cuss out his players all the time. And Brumbaugh wouldn't do it. And he was just like, that's not me, man. It's just like, he could curse or whatever, but he's not going to curse out a kid just to curse out a kid. And that's just what Pruitt expected his coaches to do, and it was stupid because they were so worn down by the end of it that they weren't having any fun. And I don't know if this is going to translate into any wins, but I don't think it's going to hurt that our players are actually enjoying the work again of going to practice, of going to the weight room, and of playing the games, I hope that they will have more joy out there. I feel like it might be worth another win or two.
No, and I agree with you, too. And another key thing that stands out to me is you don't have – and I get Jeremy Pruitt was a defensive coach. Okay, so you can flip it, flip the script on what we're talking about. But Josh Heupel's not over there, you know, telling Willie Martinez, Rodney Garner, Brian G. Mary, Tim Banks, you know, he's not up in their grill. He's letting them do their thing when it comes to practice. And Josh Heupel is taking care of the offense and being, you know, a roaming CEO, which is smart, because, you know, you don't want to piss off Rodney Garner, and you don't want to do the same to Tim Banks. You let them try to install what they're doing on defense. They got a hard enough time going up against this offense every day in practice, because it's not going to be what they see for most, like next year. Like, the only time that they'll probably see an offense anywhere near this is Ole Miss. And for them to have to install a defense the same time as trying to break in a new staff and whatnot and doing spring practice, you know, that's difficult. So it's good to hear that Josh Heupel is just going to let Tim Banks and them do their thing on defense, and then they'll just handle the offense. And once they go 7-on-7, 11-on-11, you know, that's when things start getting in motion. So that's been one of the things that's been a key takeaway for me at this, besides position groups, which there's a good amount to talk about.
It's going to be really strange, Trey, not to have a head coach that's, you know, the past two were, you know, pretty hardcore micromanagers on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I know, Bear. Corporate. And, like, that's an interesting way to look at it, because you have to wonder – well, there is a wondering, like when they had their team meetings and their breakdowns. Look, I mean, Josh Heupel is giving input on what he thinks would help and breaking down film. But really, the main thing is defense is running their thing, offense is running their thing. It's not like it's a split team approach or anything like that. It's just they've got so much to learn in a short period of time. They don't need everybody dipping their hands into other spots. Like we got. Like you got to get this installed. Like, I think the defense is going to be simpler this year, which is a great thing, I would add. But I think with this offense, it's so complicated. I mean, who was it? It was Willie Martinez talked about it last night, how, you know, they're trying to get up to the line and understand the next play within 5 seconds. We got to think about it. They're not going to have to do that type of stuff in the fall. So it's all about, that's why they've separated it, you know, between offense and defense, which is a good thing.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to say. The thing I keep coming back to, Trey, is I think I even said this when you were still with us, is I look at this upcoming season. I know that some fans are apathetic and the enthusiasm is not what it used to be and all that stuff. I wouldn't argue otherwise, but I just look at it and I keep going back to the 247 talent composite rankings, and Tennessee will have more talent than the opposing team in 9 out of 12 games this year. And getting back to what we were talking about is just the having fun aspect of it. How many times did Jeremy Pruitt's team just not answer the bell? They weren't ready to play. I'm not talking about Georgia, Alabama, Florida. They're better teams than us. They have more talent. They have better players. They should have been beating us, and they did. Right. I'm talking about not being ready for Georgia State, not being ready for Kentucky, not being ready and fired up to play a football game in the Southeastern Conference on the road, or even at home. And we saw this multiple times under that guy. And I just think that Heupel strikes me, if nothing else, even if it's manufactured hype, he's going to do what he has to do to get his team fired up and ready to play. They're going to come out of that tunnel. I'll be stunned if this is not the case. They're going to come out of the tunnel and be fired up to play and play hard. And they might get beat. They might get out-coached. They might just not have many players. That the talent rankings might be deceiving. I don't know. But I just think that this fan base respects effort, respects hustle. They're smart. They realize that whatever deficiencies from a roster standpoint on this team are not necessarily Josh Heupel's fault right now. And I just think if the team comes out there and hustles and doesn't beat itself and represents then I think that fans will get behind this team when the time comes.
They've got the talent at most positions, okay? And so, look, running back. Okay, you've got the talent at running back. You've got Jabari Smalls. You're going to have Tyon Evans. You're going to have Dee Beckwith. You can throw in T. Hodge. Lenneth Whitehead has been kind of banged up. He's in no contact. Okay, you've got talent there. Wide receiver, you've got talent. You've got Malachi. You've got Jalen. You've got Velus. You've got Ramel Keaton. You've got Walker Merrill. I can keep going. You've got talent at that spot. You look at the quarterback position. Okay, to me, in my eyes, Brian Maurer and Hendon Hooker have been a lot more accurate with their footballs over the last 2 weeks than any of the other quarterbacks. I think you've got talent at the quarterback position that you're going to be able to use. Defensive line. They've got 8 to 9 defensive linemen that can at least get up there and line up every single play and be a stopgap. Like they need Darrell Middleton and they need Omari Thomas and they need, you know, Aubrey Solomon to step up. But, you know, the guys like Matthew Butler, guys like Byron Young coming off the edge, or Bryson Eason, you know, who's been lining up and playing defensive line and working that group in practice. You know, in the secondary, they've got players. You know, you've got Theo Jackson, Nico Slaughter, Alante Taylor, Trayvon Flowers. You keep going down the line. They have it. At that spot, I would say that, and Willie Martinez said last night, they're pretty thin. I would say that they would, you know, Warren Burrell, they've got a 2D, you know, but they don't have that 3D or the 4D. But the only spot that's missing right now is linebacker. Mm-hmm. And it's rough to see, because you go out there and you've got Solomon Page and Morvin Joseph. You know, they were kind of running with the ones, per se, is what I've been told right now for the time being. You know, with these guys, Aaron Willis, you know, the Martavis French and whatnot, when they get back, that's still up in the air. I know that Aaron Willis is, you know, still back in Maryland. Right now, at the moment, Caden Salter is still in Knoxville. These other players, you know, when can they get back and add depth? Aaron Beasley, I just feel like would be. And look, here's the thing, too, about Aaron Beasley. Aaron Beasley, I was told, behind the scenes, was having one of the best springs of any defensive player out there.
Of course he was.
He had finally stepped up. Yeah, he had finally stepped up and was going to be a factor. Maybe, you know, not a star, but he was going to be a factor.
And then he lost his mind and decided to go all Buffalo Bill on a kitten. I see, and shout out to the Lenoir City Bulldog, Davey Hudson, listening to the show today, because he pointed out, he asked, did the 247 rankings, do they take into account the fact that we have no linebackers? But, Trey, you just listed a bunch of guys that are technically on the roster. And my thing I come back to, and I'm not trying to downplay this. Yeah, it's bad. Our depth is messed up there. And we're assuming that Crouch and Toto are gone. I think Banks is a solid SEC linebacker. Not great, but if he can get
he's
back
solid.
Healthy. Yeah, if he can get healthy, he's a decent starting middle linebacker in the SEC.
Who?
Banks? Jeremy Banks. And then you're just you're looking for one guy on the side of him. Maybe you coach up Roman Harrison. Maybe you coach up Morvin Joseph. Maybe he steps up a little bit. I'm not saying he's all SEC material, but he's a scholarship athlete. It's not like we're plugging in a walk-on from Hardin Valley if we play Jeremy Banks.
Well, also, you're not going to be rolling with three linebackers on the field at the same time,
exactly.
I think, most of the year.
You only need two.
You're only going to be running a two-linebacker set most of the time. So, I mean, if you can figure out – look, if there's one thing about Jeremy Banks. He's got a high motor. So that's going to benefit you.
Maybe a little too high at times.
Right, maybe a little too high. And his shoulder is trying to get his shoulder fixed. But you get somebody, at least two guys beside him, or one guy that can rotate in on him, okay – then you're setting yourself up for something.
Look, we know his off-the-field situation, whatever. Barrett, we were all excited about Jeremy Banks 2 years ago before.
That's until I watched him being completely unable to cover a receiver in
Niedermeyer.
The open field.
Niedermeyer. What, I mean, what happened?
Well, Henry couldn't cover anybody either.
Well, I know. That's why I thought it was laughable that he was thinking that Alabama was going to sign him. or pick him up out of the transfer portal. The only thing Alabama's doing with stringing him along, I feel like Trey, is just to wait and see if they can make it through spring practice with other linebackers healthy.
Like he can't play. The other schools he's considering are Ohio State, Texas, and Florida. I mean, Henry Toto is a very good linebacker.
I feel like if Ohio State, I'm sorry, Trey, I feel like if Ohio State, Texas, or Florida had offered him, he would be out of the portal. And
I think he's waiting on that Bama thing just to see how it shakes out. See,
he's also waiting for the NCAA ruling in May to see if he can play, because one of the interesting things about that is the NCAA could say, okay, you can transfer one time, but it can't be intra-conference transfers. So if that happens, he has to go somewhere like Texas or Ohio State or whatnot. So, you know, I think Tennessee would be fine at the end at linebacker. They're just going to have to find some guys. Some guys are going to have to step up, and you might have to play, you know, you might have to pop Tyler Barron back just a little bit off that line of scrimmage and maybe have him, you know, be a force out on the edge. And you might have to play Roman Harrison. But I think they'd be okay. And the folks that I've spoken with said that, you know, they're picking up the defense pretty well. And I think it's because they're simplifying it. You know, you don't have Jeremy Pruitt out there. A lot of folks don't realize it. Jeremy Pruitt would be out at practice, and he would just make up a defensive scheme on the fly, have a GA come over with a whiteboard, and literally make up
drawing it up in the dirt. Coach Cornbread drawing plays up in the dirt. He's an SEC head coach acting like this is seven-on-seven drills outside Bearden Elementary School or something. What a complete buffoon.
Yeah, you had these players that didn't know what the hell was going on. So, you know.
You told a great story. He did that. Was it the day before the South Carolina game? It was the week of the game.
Yeah, it was on a Wednesday. He literally got a GA to go get a whiteboard. And he drew up six plays that they then installed into the defense and tried to run against South Carolina. They didn't work.
Which I guess, hey, they won the game, but
got a little close.
Yeah, I mean, you're working a system through 4 weeks of fall camp, and you get up there 3 days before the game, and you just start winging it. I mean, that seems really dumb. But.
Hey, also, by the way, I've been listening to y'all's Tony V interviews. I'm glad that's been rocking on. Those boys are killing it. We got probably, I would say, two of the biggest series in recent Tennessee history coming up over the next 2 weeks with Florida and Vanderbilt. Like, those are huge. So if they can keep that up, watch out. This team can make a run to Omaha.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Russ is wanting to go down and heckle.
What?
Yeah.
We're going to.
Well, why not?
We need a bunch of shirts that say Tony's Cronies. And we're going to run. We're going to go down there.
Feel free to join us, Trey.
And we're going
to
represent.
Right. Yeah. And you can, like, say, you know, you can also, when their batting music walks up, when the play music walks up, you can also have a game of jam or no jam. Same time.
You're pretty cool.
There you go. Trey, great hearing you, man. We got to get you back in studio sometime and hang with you. RockyTopInsider.com, man. Congrats on the new gig. Yeah, I've been reading some of your stuff over there, doing great work, and invite folks to go check you out. Anything else you want to make known before we
get you out of here? No, just glad to pop on with you guys. I love y'all. Y'all doing a great job. Keep it up, and I look forward to continue doing this. And, miss you, boys.
All right, thanks, bud.
See you, Trey.
See you, guys.
Sir Trey of House Wallace has left the building, ladies and gentlemen.
Outstanding.
I always love telling Pruitt stories with Trey. I have a feeling we're going to be doing that for many years to come.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russ LeBaire back with you. Trey Wallace on the show. Bear, what did you learn?
Excellent appearance by Trey. It confirmed a lot of things. You could tell he was happy. He was happy about being back at practice.
Boy, got to see some practice.
Yeah.
Talking about practice.
The one thing that jumped out at me is it sounds like a new the relaxation of some of the more draconian rules that Pruitt and Botch had in place.
It's so dumb, man.
It's just idiotic. It's like, why? You don't want to piss off the beat guys. Because you got to
good point.
Those guys are right. I mean, their whole job is to write about your program.
Yep.
Well, how's the old saying goes? Don't start a fight with people that buy ink by the barrel.
The three previous guys, and I don't know a ton about Heupel. He doesn't strike me as a guy that's that paranoid. But the three previous guys were paranoid, but they were also so full of false bravado that they thought, well, I don't need to cultivate relationships with any of the local press because I'm so awesome and I'm going to be so good that it doesn't matter. Nick Saban doesn't have to kiss ass to the local media. And so
Saban
why
wins.
Should I? Well, that's what they think. They're just going to come in here and win. And then when they didn't win, everybody turned on him. And you get Butch Jones talking about enemies list in his back pocket like he's Nixon or something.
Yeah, but I mean, the other part of it is we all see what you see most of the time if they show Saban is when he's probably irritated about something went at practice, somebody didn't do something perfectly. But for the most part, he's usually pretty even keeled with the press down there. I've watched a lot of his stuff. And like that video he put out recently where he was explaining about, his philosophy switch, that fundamental shift in his philosophy. And I mean, he's not a jerk all the time.
What? He can be a jerk. He does blow his top.
He can.
From time to time.
But he doesn't do it all the time.
And I will say Pruitt for, I don't even know if he knew how to, I mean, he was just such a dullard. Like, when you talk about dullard, like, that's your word that you've brought to our lexicon.
Yeah.
I think of Jeremy Pruitt, like, just a dumb
slack-jawed dumbass. Just, and what really irritated me when it made me really angry was when he got the $200,000 fines for not wearing, his whole cornholio look that he went with. But then he went on the post-game show, and I felt like at times it was kind of disrespectful to BK, to Bob.
Oh, he's very disrespectful to
Bob. And then put his mask over. It's like, dude, like Bob Kessling's a damn institution in this town. Have some respect.
I'm not even.
Be a little bit professional.
Well, yeah, exactly. Bob would. And Bob is one of the best at far like setting somebody who doesn't want to talk up.
Yeah.
Where he will just say, hey, coach, this was a good play here. And then Pruitt would be like, well, it wasn't that good. Like, just the whole condescending thing.
Yeah.
And it was like, dude.
I mean, come on, man. I know a lot of people have faith, and I dare anybody. I mean, could you imagine me and you trying to pronounce some of these kids' names live on the radio in the heat of the moment? But, I mean, as far as Bob's super professional. And like you said, he's an easy person to get interviewed by. He sets you up for success. And I just thought it was incredibly disrespectful.
You got to be a real piece of work not to get along. And I'm not saying that they didn't get along. I don't know what their relationship was, but
and Bob's so professional, he'd never tell
on the coach's show, which I will say one of the few decent things he did was bringing that back when they actually watched the games, and every now and then Pruitt would give you some decent insight into that, but he also came off like kind of a jerk.
And just those blank, vacant stares that you love so much. You were the first person that really, because I had stopped watching the coach's show after Coach Majors, and then Coach Fulmer was kind of he wasn't as good as Coach Majors.
I loved what Fulmer did, man. They watch the game and give interesting insights that you do not see anywhere else. And then when Kiffin came in, they just stopped doing it.
Yeah, and then I remember the Sunday morning, you're like, hey.
They brought it back. It was a real coach's show.
You're like, hey, have you been watching? Did you watch a coach's show? And I was like, no, why? And he goes, you got to watch it. It's hysterical. And it was basically because Pruitt was so damn weird.
It was funny because he was weird and he always had that blank look on there and just looked like a fish out of water.
One eyebrow about 6 inches above the other one.
But from a content standpoint, it was actually really good. You want me to say something nice about Jeremy Pruitt there? His coach's show, aside from the fact that his team sucked and they were losing most of the time, he actually doing a coach's show and going through the game and explaining things, that was good.
It kind of felt like it was a train wreck at times.
Which, what does it say about our program when the best thing you could say about a coach was his coach's show was good? As one's for you,
not,
Brian.
Not a lot. Not a lot.
Coming up, hour number three of the drive. I got a surprise for you, Bear.
What's that? You going to tell me or are you just going to surprise me?
The professor is here. We got a pop quiz with the professor.
What the hell? You're just going to spring this on me?
That's why it's called a pop quiz. Yes. Pop quiz, hot shot. What do you do?
I'll tell you what. I'm in studio with him now. If he didn't show me the proper respect, I'll come over this board after him.
No, you won't. You'll just sit there and kneel before me.
That will never happen.
The smartest man at Fan Run.
You are not.
Smartest man at Fan Run.
Come on, you're not.
Granted, not saying a lot.
Whoa.
But I'm about to prove it.
Look, you were the only person at the station that matriculated barely from West High School over there on Sutherland Avenue.
Barely. I got an honors degree from West High School.
It's one of my honors degree from West High School.
One of my proudest possessions. With honors. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
It's like graduating from Brushy Mountain with good behavior.
It's one of the best schools in high schools in East Tennessee. It's one of the only baccalaureate institutions. I mean, it wasn't when I was back there, but
it's not Knox Catholic.
Stop. Knox Catholic. Y'all got a football coach yet?
No, we're going to go over the hot board in hour number three.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio.